Oh, that's beautiful. That is
Go ahead, Daryl. Yeah, it really is, particularly to hear examples like that that are lifted up and understanding. You know, particularly Dr. Myers. You know, we look at today where we are, and you know where we are right now as a nation is that you know, we're now getting ready to undergo what is, I think, an incredible uplifting of our uptick, if you will, of racism and misogyny and anti-immigration and anti-diversity. That's about to hit us, and we see it all over the nation that's occurring right now, whether we're dealing with those texts that came up for African-American high school students and college students, telling them to report back because they're going back to a plantation, they're going to be taking them back. Or if we're talking about, you know, the texts that were received by members of the LGBTQIA community or immigrant community, talking about, you know, getting them out of the country. How does the training that you do and the peace circles that you operate, how do they play a role in dealing with that type of social networking nonviolence that people are going to be experiencing and are experiencing in the streets?
Well, one of the things that we encourage people to do is to know their own history, know what they have gone through. And in the peace circles, talk about your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents. Yeah. What are the experiences that they have had? Because we get it handed down generationally. Now, what I'm concerned about is that much of America does not know the honest American history. We were told all this stuff about Virginia being the colony, the first colony, and that the Europeans came in and they built this wonderful country. The truth is, most of the Europeans who came into Virginia back in the 1700s and 1600s were released from prisons. They were people that were looked upon as the disadvantaged people. They were not supposed to be the right people. They were felons, convicts, had committed murders, had committed all kinds of crimes. So many of the people that are expressing hate today don't even know that their ancestors were also slaves. Their ancestors were indentured slaves that came to America involuntarily. They always tell us that Australia was the penal colony. No, Virginia was the first penal colony, and Georgia was one. So there's a lot of hate and anger that's been handed down for generations in these people who now want to take over the country, and they want to somehow stop DEI and push us back and challenge voting rights and affordable housing. This Project 2025 is an example of how they're trying to reinforce systemic racism in ways that were done to them 400 years ago, 500 years ago, that they don't even know about. So one of the things that we have to do is we have to be sure our children know their history, but we also have to be sure that the rest of the country faces up to the fact that they weren't born into any royalty. They were born into anger and violence, and that's what they've been handing down to their children and trying to use against us.
And I think it's so important, the point you're making, Dr. Myers, because most people don't know that particular history. South Carolina, you know, was also one of those very heavily indentured servant, states. In fact, as we know that, you know, for many years, a number of these states had black majorities, you know, because they were able to exploit, you know, the African quote slave trade to brutally enslave people, and it took a certain kind of criminal mind to treat other human beings so viciously. And what also people don't know is that, and you see that a lot when I watch Skip Gates doing his show Roots, is that a whole lot of the other folks who weren't sent here were given the option of, you know, being jailed for life or whatever the, you know, penalties were, are going to the states and helping to, you know, clear land, etc., as, you know, indentured servants. The other people were like the fifth and fourth and sixth and seventh sons of wealthy people, meaning that they came here angry already, because they knew that they could not inherit. They knew that they would never have the social money. They were born into wealth, but they could not maintain that wealth independently once they were grown. That's why they came over here, because they needed to find some other way of making money, some other way of having status, et cetera. So, you know, people got to look at, you know, what our origins are as a nation, and how that has fueled resentment, hatred, so many other problems. And then you get this campaign, Daryl, you and Dr. Myers, you get this campaign that just ended not even a month ago, and you have all of this newly reignited, I can't say that it's just new, it's reignited hatred going on. Every time I turn around, there's a new video of somebody, you know, hating on, you know, a black person usually, but I've seen a lot of anti-immigrant stuff also, you know, where people are basically ranting and talking about how they voted for this particular candidate and they're going to get you, just you wait until the 20th of January, all that kind of stuff. And Daryl, what we've been saying to the nation, and this goes so strongly with Dr. Myers, is that you don't sit around and just let this proliferate, that you got to be active and countering it. Right, Daryl?
Oh, absolutely, Barbara. You know, you can imagine if the enslaved people sat back and just accepted their enslavement rather than fighting back. You know, rather than, you know, teaching themselves to read after, you know, obviously having someone work with them to teach them to read. So it's not a position where we are right now where we need to just sit back and let anything happen to us. I think that what Dr. Myers is saying is so much on point. Number one, we've got to know our history and understand the hurdles that we've overcome to stand where we stand. You know, I can tell you, 10 years ago, Dr. Myers, I don't think we would be talking about an African-American woman having a legitimate shot of winning the presidency of the United States. I don't know that we're talking about 92% of black women being registered to vote and voting in the election series. I don't know we're having that conversation. But what I do know is that because of the efforts of those that came before us in teaching us our history and understanding how persistent we needed to be to hold on to our dreams, that we then can stand on the dreams of our ancestors and do these things. And so when we stand here talking about now dealing with, you know, nonviolence and understanding how nonviolence revolutions have worked, how nonviolence has been used as a tool to conquer divisiveness. You know, I think, you know, Dr. Myers said, this is what you're teaching. And I think about Barbara Lyndon Baines Johnson, right, when he was saying that, you know, the poor people that were white that should be part of this anti-nonviolence, this anti-violence movement, that they really need to be locked arm in arm with those of us that are in the struggle for equality, because they are benefiting just as much as the African Americans and every other entity that's in this country that benefits from nonviolence, understanding the history and the partnership of working together. Dr. Myers, am I off on this?
No, you're absolutely right. They do need to understand that, because you have people like J.D. Vance, who comes out of a community, which is your Appalachia community that they call the hillbilly culture. And he was able to go into the military, and through ROTC, he was able to get his degrees. But he comes out of a community that has been treated as the trailer trash, as they call them. These people have learned and have benefited from the progress of Black America. They have followed us. In many cases, white women benefited from the work and the struggle of Black America. So these groups should be grateful to us for showing them a role model for how to get out of slavery, how to get out of indentured servitude. And we have to dispel these myths. Some of the events that we had during the month of nonviolence, for example, in Baltimore, our president over there, Danielle Smith, she had two sessions that focused on the myths that are within our communities, that we have certain belief systems that people have tried to put on us, that we don't work hard, that we're lazy, we're not able to do science and math and technology, that our black men didn't vote. You know, all of these kind of myths. So those are opportunities and forums. And that's why we want everyone to realize they are a leader. If you're a grandparent, mm-hmm. you are the leader of your grandchildren and your family, and they're going to quote you for the rest of their lives. So be sure that if you're a grandparent, a parent, an uncle, an aunt, be sure that when the kids are quoting you, you have given them something to learn. Make sure that you sit down at that old-fashioned kitchen table and talk with them about history. Because if the schools, if the Project 2025 is going to get rid of the Department of Education, we are going to have to step in and educate our children ourselves, because that's mm-hmm. one of their top priorities. Well, the Department of Education has provided all this funding for our historically Black colleges and universities. The Head Start program brought a lot of our kids into learning and education and reading and preschool, which was something that wasn't happening. We have got to really organize ourselves and resist this. But one way to resist it is to go back to what we used to do in the Black Power movement. You guys should remember it. We had liberation schools, right? We
right.
would go together with our Black student unions.
Freedom schools.
We would have our liberation schools and sit down with the kids on a Saturday morning, a Saturday afternoon. We have to do that all over again. And every single person listening has to become a leader in their own church if they want to, family, neighborhood, whatever the forum is. Divine Nine, sports club. We had a group down in Portsmouth, Virginia, who uses basketball to organize the young people, basketball and football. And they organize the young people, and before every game, they take all the players and put them in a peace circle. And before every game, the players are able to express what's on their mind, how they're feeling, good, bad, upset, mad at somebody, trying to make up things. And it was just beautiful to see how they were able to do that. So people can use sports. My goodness, football is so huge right now. Everybody's watching it. Okay, well, football is about winning and losing, just like the democracy. And when you lose, you've got to get yourself together and get ready for the next game. That's where we are now. Project 2025 is trying to institute systemic forms of racism again. It's almost like after the Civil War, when they put the Black codes in place. Project 2025 is like a Black code. Well, we have
and let's talk
items.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk about that. I don't know if Ernie if Professor Quarles has been able to join us yet, but when he does, please let us know.
Yes, I am, Barbara.
Oh, there you are. I thought you might be on. Hi. Well, first of all, let me introduce you to our audience. You really need no introduction. You've been on a number of times. We're so grateful that you were able to join us. You know, Professor Ernest J. Quarles is a professor at Johns Hopkins University, and he is one of our nation's leading top thinkers and I would say scholars on African-American women and their historic contributions to our, you know, fight for racial justice. He has done incredible work on Anna Julia Cooper and so many other amazing African-American women figures in history. He serves on the board of the African-American Policy Forum. He is a tennis instructor. He is just an amazing, tennis teacher, and he also knows so much about Black culture. You watch out if you want to talk about the origin of the blues, the jazz. You want to know about Ozzie and Ruby Davis. You want to know anything? I tell you, there is nobody with the intellectual depth of knowledge of our culture than Professor Quarles. Professor Quarles, welcome back to Igniting Change.
Thank you so very much, Barbara, and thank you, Daryl. It's just a blessing and a privilege to be on with you today, as along with Dr. Myers. And let me just say, Dr. Myers, that you know your work is much, much needed, and it's just an example of the legacy that Black women have always been about. And it's really, as you know, my sense is it's Black women with the assist of black men. Okay, black women with the assist of black men that will really advance our common humanity. So, you know, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for being on the show. So one question I want to bring